Today, I'm super excited to share with you one of my, if not only, favorite topic, which is about storytelling. Today, I want to tell you everything, and I have stories to tell, but the main one is about our company and brand, Meknes, how I saved this company by utilizing the art of storytelling, of capturing hearts and minds of investors to give me some money. And today, like I said, it's going to be interesting, exciting. And this is a way for me to start actually finally giving you the advice and tools to embrace and master the art of storytelling. This way, you can achieve your own goals. So, without further ado, run the intro.
Welcome to the Kamal Jaheed Show, hosted by dating coach and successful entrepreneur, Kamal Jaheed. This is the podcast where you'll find everything you need to know about living your best life, whether it's finding the perfect partner, staying on top of the latest fashion trends, or starting your own successful business. Kamal has got you covered. So sit back, relax, and join us on this journey of self-improvement and discovery. And now, here's your host, Kamal Jaheed.
So, like I said in the introduction, the year is 2020. COVID just hit us, all of us, hit the whole world, the pandemic and all the stuff, you know. I'm not going to remind you. And because at that time, our brand was only focusing on selling bags. Actually, big bags, traveling bags. And so, because everything was shut down, specifically me, I saw the death of my brand. I said, this is it. Nobody is traveling. We're all stuck at home. Nobody needs a bag. And it was the end of an era, the end of a dream. But out of the blue, I said, you know what? I need to sell some masks. So without trying to show off or anything, we were one of the first companies because we were based in Europe. And remember, China was completely shut down. They couldn't export, they couldn't produce, they couldn't do nothing. So because we have the workshop in Warsaw, here in Poland, we were one of the few companies to actually start selling, producing and selling stylish masks, face masks. If you know the brand, you know that we are known for our mosaic pattern or motif. And I saw people wearing this ugly plastic, whatever, you know, mask in the street and said, it must be a way to wear something nice and cool. And that's what we did. Because we have a lot of, let's say, stock in lining, the way or the material we line our bags with. And we just transformed this to masks, and the success was tremendous. We've sold, I don't even remember. We were making so much money that I started to choose the colors of my Lamborghini. But then, because we were not ready to scale, because we were like at the time a team of 3 or 4 people, so we were not ready for this. And unfortunately, and I take full responsibility, I made so many rookie mistakes because we had so much money in the company that we didn't know what to do with. And I wanted to start making t-shirts, like pen, whatever, everything you could imagine, I wanted to make it. And that was a very stupid idea. Long story short, I ended up losing money that year. Even we made so much money, so much cash flow. But at the end of the year, I was broke. The company was almost dead. We almost filed for bankruptcy. And I had absolutely no idea what to do with my life. And I then entered this era of, if you will, depression, because I saw my dream completely shattered, completely gone, and I didn't know what to do. Until one day, and here's when the story gets cool, I went out, and I remember it was a Saturday night. I went out, I was drinking, but really not in the mood to party or anything because I was really sad because the company was dying and people owed me money and, you know, lawyers, accountants, it was a mess, a big mess. And so I went out and I met with some friends, listened to some music, got drunk, and then I went home at around 4 a.m. And I remember I was so depressed that I didn't know what to do. I opened my laptop and I went to LinkedIn. I said, maybe I should apply for some job now because, you know, 2 or 3 months, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. And then I noticed I had like one email message left. If you use LinkedIn, email message is like the ability to send a private message to people you don't even know or which are not in your network. So I'm like, only one left. I better make sure this one is worth it. So I was, you know, looking through my network, seeing who are, and then I came across this video of this Shark Tank in Morocco, the Moroccan edition, you know, where you go and you pitch your startup idea, you raise some money. And I unfortunately saw that the application time is over. It's too late. But I was like, what if I just send a message to the producer or the person responsible of the show and he will make an exception for me? Remember, I'm drunk, depressed, sad, anxious, the whole, you know, cocktail of negative emotions. But then I managed to craft a compelling story, compelling message, using the storytelling, obviously, and a little of confidence and balls. Because I told this guy, literally, I wrote, hey, I know the application time is over, but listen to me. Our brand draws inspiration from the Moroccan heritage, but we are based in Europe. But this is a company you want in your show. Trust me, you don't want to miss this opportunity. And then I tell him the story how I built this brand, which I'm going to tell you. And I went to sleep. I'm like, all right, the lost in message mail gone. Hopefully he will get back to me, but I didn't expect anything. So I go to sleep. I woke up on Sunday afternoon around 3 or 4 p.m. And then I check my LinkedIn. I kid you not, this guy wrote back to me and he said, incredible story, Kamal. I went to your website. It looks amazing. And yes, we want you in the show. Please contact my assistant. This is her email. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. So I wrote to the assistant and she didn't get back to me for like 3 or 4 days. And I know it was like late. They were closing the applications and everything. But I wrote the message in English. And I said, because, you know, Morocco, we deal with French, basically, when it comes to business. So I went back and I wrote the same message in French. And then she immediately replied. But anyhow, this was a little, you know, persistence lesson there, because I said I refused to give up. And I obviously CC'd the person responsible for the show, producer, or the main guy of the show. And I CC'd him. I said, hey, as per my conversation with your boss, I am allowed to have this exception to integrate the show. And they accepted. And then we started the onboarding process, which was cool. So the lesson there is, obviously, never lose hope. And always expect that sometimes what you feel in your heart, just do it. I remember that day I was sad and depressed, drunk, but still I had this little hope inside me that now it is not over. My brand or the company will live on. So I applied to the show. They accepted me. I actually did a trial. Like, you have to pitch your idea, your startup. They accepted it. And so I had to go to Morocco and prepare for the show. So now the funny story is that year, because, you know, investors, they only care about numbers. Like, hey, how much did you make last quarter? How much did you make last year? So from my side, from in the company perspective, yes, we made a lot of money. But at the end of the year, because I made so many stupid mistakes, we were in minus and we had debt. So obviously, it doesn't look too sexy. So I had to come up with a solution. And the solution was to simply tell a captivating story that will completely take these guys to the skies. And actually, if you watch the show, and I'm going to link it, it was for a 40-minute pitch, but there's a short story. At the end of my pitch, the guy said, "You are a dangerous storyteller." That was like the most amazing and incredible compliment I have ever gotten. So my goal or aim in this episode is to tell you the secret of how to craft a story and how you can utilize it to achieve, you know, your dreams. I don't know, you want to meet the partner of your dreams, you want to raise money for your startup, or you are trying to get a raise in your job. The main thing is, personally, storytelling is the only tool that allowed me to basically achieve every goal I ever wanted and have this life that I have today. And this, I'm going to give you a little backstory, because when I was young, I had a problem with confidence. I had a very, very, very bad skin. Acne was ravaging my face, and it ravages my confidence. It got so bad to the point whenever I go to the bathroom, I wouldn't turn on the lights because I couldn't look at my face. And I remember my mother one day, she discovered this, and she's like, "Hey, why you never turn on the lights?" And I told her, "No, Mom, I'm just trying to save you guys some money. I know electricity is expensive these days." But the truth is, I couldn't look at my face, and therefore I lacked confidence. And therefore, I couldn't talk to the girls that I liked in school, especially in high school, and even the first years of university, because I was like, "I'm not worth it. I look like shit. Nobody gonna talk to me. No girl gonna ever love me." And so to deal with this problem, I had to develop two skills. First of all, I learned how to dress like in a very fashionable way, but also I wanted to learn how to tell compelling stories so I can capture hearts and minds. And that's how my journey in the storytelling galaxy began. So obviously, if you remember from the first podcast, I told you, or I shared with you, the story of how I got to Poland and all the crazy adventures that happened. But the adventure that I'm about to share with you, or the details I'm about to share with you, are probably one of the most beautiful memories I have. Because when I went to the show, you know, it is broadcasted in a national television. So not only you have your friends and family watching, but everyone you've ever met in your life would watch the show, because it's very popular and there's a huge media, you know, and PR operations behind the show. And so when they were advertising the show, they were showing my segment as a commercial, because, and believe me or not, my pitch was the best pitch they ever had in the show, obviously, and you're going to know why. And I was getting calls and messages, and it's like, "Oh my God, dude, I just saw you on TV. Is that really you?" And it was an incredible time for me. But again, let's go back to the storytelling. So like I said, the numbers were not by my side. I had a year with minus, I think we were like, nothing crazy to be honest. I think we were probably minus 100K or something like that. Nothing too crazy, but still we had debts and we didn't make money and we didn't have any product to sell. It was a disaster. So the only way for me was to kind of inspire these guys, these investors, is to tell them a story and explain to them this was just a little fuck up, but things are gonna get better. You gotta believe in me and you gotta invest in me first, then invest in the brand, because, you know, that's how it goes. And so I began my journey of preparing the most incredible story and pitch to, you know, raise capital for my startup, for the brand Meknes. And because, like I said, this is the foundation of a show, and that I want to start giving you tips and basically advice on crafting compelling stories. The foundation it goes like this. First of all, the first advice, you need to capture the attention of the audience you're pitching to. So in this situation, we have investors. I have five investors in front of me. So first, you have to study what's going on. I went to the first season and I saw what the other startups are doing. And I noticed that for them to capture their attention, they were asking questions. Everyone was starting their pitch with a stupid question like, who here has ever experienced blah, blah, blah? Please raise your hand. And they all ask the investors to raise their hand. And I kid you not, when I was observing the faces of the investors, I could see they are like pissed. They're like, oh my God, another fucker who is asking me to raise my hand. And I kid you not, it's like we were 20 startups. And I think 15 out of 20 all asked a question, please raise your hand. So it was very annoying. I'm like, bro, if I'm investing in your company, don't fucking ask me to raise my hand. I just want to hear your pitch and see if I'm interested. That's it. So for me, it was no way I'm going to do the same. I had to come up with a very unique and compelling, let's say, opening. It is like when you are in court, especially in the US, I think, but I believe everywhere, it is the opening statement. This is when the lawyer goes to the judge. He starts by telling them a story or an opening statement or whatever. The most interesting thing is here, you have to start with a compelling, it's like, boom, an action that will completely take them out of the context, because people are busy, they are in their mind, they are dealing with their problems, and you want to wake them up. So the way I had to do it is by simply not asking a question, completely differentiating myself from the other guys. And I started my statement like this. Hello, everyone. My name is Kamal Zahid. I am the founder of Meknes. The Germans have their cars. The Swiss have their watches. Americans have technology and finance. But we, in Morocco, we have art and craftsmanship. Boom. Silence. I paused there for like 2 or 3 seconds to let it, you know, sink in. And I kid you guys not, it was the most incredible opening they ever had, because the guys, and I want you to see the videos, the one video, I would put the link on the comment, it's on YouTube, I think it's like 10 minutes, you will see their faces, they completely lighten up, and they were like, oh my God, what is this guy is about to say? Because in the pitch, they were teaching us like the framework or the foundations, like, oh, you have to start with the problem. Then the blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, fuck that. I start with what I want to start. And I want to start with an opening statement. So what I did there is what we call in the space of psychology, social proof concept, which means I associated Morocco with the biggest nations of the world, Germany, US, and Switzerland, and no offense to the other countries. I started telling the story. So the story was, and I'm about to tell you, and I invite you to observe every, let's say, segment of the story, and then we will analyze it together. So the story went like this. In 2008, while preparing my big trip to Poland, my grandfather came to me and gave me his bag. He said, son, now that you're on the verge of becoming a real man, I want you to keep this bag with you. Travel with it, discover the world, and always remember me, and always remember who you are. So I took the bag, flew to Poland, began my journey. While traveling the world and discovering new cultures, I had that bag with me all the time. And one day at the airport, a guy came to me. And by the way, guys, this is a true story. A guy, an American guy, came to me and said, oh my God, incredible bag. I want to buy it off you. Can you? I will give you $1,000 and you give me this bag. At first, I thought this guy was joking, but then I realized he was serious. Then I replied, look, man, this is very cool. It means a lot to me, but this bag has a emotional value to me. My granddad, before he died, he gave it to me and I cannot sell it to you. But what can I do? What I can do for you is give you some addresses in Morocco. Maybe you can give it. So we agreed, we shook hands. He gave me his business card and he said, you know what? Maybe you should one day open a company and sell these gorgeous bags to the world. Like, yeah, maybe one day. So I took the guy contact and I took my flight. I was flying, I think, to the US. And that's it. But the whole trip, I was thinking about this idea. I was thinking about sharing the Moroccan heritage with the world. And then once I landed, I went to my buddies and friend and brother. David Liebers was my co-founder. And I told him about the idea. And he said, yeah, that sounds amazing. Let's do it. And so we were looking what to do to launch this company, this brand. We decided to go with crowdfunding, a Kickstarter campaign. And without giving you all the details, and here, by the way, guys, this is where storytelling comes into play. So we decided to do a Kickstarter. The goal was to sell 100 bags in 1 month and raise, what, $50,000. So the first week was amazing. We were selling 20, 30, 50 bags. Second week, the same thing. We were like sell about 15. The third week, we sold about 10. And the fourth week, last one, we were struggling to reach the 100 marks. Because in Kickstarter, if you don't reach your goal, which our goal at that time was $50,000. If you don't reach it, you lose everything. You don't get a penny. So unfortunately, we were at 95 and there was only a few hours left. So it was again seeing my life flashing before my eyes, because we would spend like 6 months preparing for the campaign. We went to Marrakesh, we shot the video, the production, prototypes, all that stuff. I saw six months of work of my life completely gone, because I contacted everyone. I called family, friends to help, but who helped have already did or already helped. And I simply couldn't find people to finish the, we were missing two bags. But so, with 1 hour left, I came to the realization that, well, we're not getting any money, but I am actually at peace with this, because we have proven to the world that this brand could be a big brand, and we sold 98 bags. It's not 100, but I think my grandfather is smiling at me from the skies, the heavens, and I can go to sleep without being completely heartbroken, but happy. And then while preparing to sleep, this idea struck me. I was like, hey, do you remember the guy we met at the airport? The guy who wanted to buy the bag from you? And then I jumped from my bed and I was looking for his business card. I was looking everywhere in my apartment. I just completely destroyed the apartment, throwing everything around just to find this goddamn business card. I look at the time and it's like 20 minutes to go. And then I called this guy. I found the bloody business card and he called him. It's like, man, I don't have a lot of time to explain, but hear me out. Remember the day you want to buy the bag from me? Well, here you go. I just launched a brand new company and we need your help and we need it now. We need to get two bags. Can you do it? And he's like, where? How can I do it? It's like Kickstarter. Do you know Kickstarter? I was like, of course I do. Send me the link. And boom, I sent him the link. And then he ordered two bags. And then we reached the 100 bags 5 minutes before the end. And then the project was successful. A brand was born, and we couldn't be happier. All right, so that was the first part of my pitch. As you can imagine, there was a lot of details, a lot of adrenaline, and I hope you were, and I captured your attention a little bit because this was only the first part. And the idea here was to just completely flood them with emotions because I was observing their faces and they were like, almost wanted to cry because they're like, oh man, you spent 6 months and you were this close and you didn't reach your goal. Oh my God, why not? And they were like, why, this is not fair. But obviously, and now between you and I obviously dramatized the situation. I added a little drama there. The thing is, it was not 5 minutes to finish. Of course, it's a little bit exaggerated. It's like these Netflix shows, they always start, the event of this episode have been dramatized for drama purposes. So the same, your story, I'm not saying you have to lie, but you have to add a little bit spices to it to sell it. In truth, we kind of had a similar situation, but it was like a day or two before. But it was true because with 1 or 2 days, we were stuck at like 95 bags. And I'm like, what the hell? Only 5 bags? It's stupid to lose the whole thing. Obviously, we start, you know, calling everyone I know, David and I and family and friends. But actually, psychologically speaking, even Kickstarter, when it comes to the algorithm, when you are close to your goal, they actually start pushing your project. So we had some complete random strangers help us and we actually achieved the goal with 1 day to go. So the idea here, speaking of storytelling foundation, first, like I said, you need a crazy opening statement, a crazy sentence, a crazy something very powerful that will capture their attention. Think of a statement, 2 or maybe even 2 sentences. And then the second aspect is the pause. The pausing is very, very important because it allows the people to digest what you just said. Remember my line? Germans have their cars. Swiss have their watches. Americans have finance and technology. In Morocco, we have art and craftsmanship. Boom. They're like, okay, man, tell me what's coming more. The next aspect or segment is the actual story. Now you introduce the hero of your story and then you can do a little research, but maybe we can also do it in another episode. Then the hero has to go through the hero journey. First, he has the problem. Then he tries to grow, to face the problem. He faces the problem, but then discovers a new adventure or a new life. What I did here, the hero basically was me and the story of my grandfather who gave me the bag. So I took the bag. It was also kind of the hero of the story. It's actually the bag, not even me. And then I went on a journey, I traveled the world, I met this guy, then I launched this project, and just before I succeed, I couldn't. So imagine with me your hero, you throw your hero into the forest, and the goal of the hero is to leave the forest safe and sound. And then he goes through some obstacles, he kills some animals and everything, and then he sees the end of the forest, our guy or our hero, survived happy days, but just before he gets out, another lion grabs him back. And then you're like, no, I thought he's going to survive. And then he's fighting with the last beast, the last villain or whatever. But he managed to kill that villain. And then he gets out. That is the secret to any story, is before you succeed, you have to struggle again one last time. And then, boom. In my story was, okay, I launched a project. We sold 95. Amazing. This is it. It's going to happen. Boom. No, there is 1 hour left. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it. And then the emotions of your audience are like sad. And they're like, they're excited in the beginning because you're succeeding. And then they are sad because you didn't. And then you actually succeed because you had to push yourself. And so you make them go through all this roller coaster of emotion, I like to say a cocktail of emotions, and then they are basically yours. Whatever you tell them, which is what we call in the marketing world the call to action, they are ready for it. They are ready to consume whatever you're going to ask them. And in my pitch, I am going to read you the statement that I made when they kind of, I like to say the word marinate, you know, cooking, when you're cooking some very special dish, you know, in the Moroccan cuisine, you have many dishes that need to be marinated overnight. It means you prepare them and you put them in some spices and oils for one day or one night. And then the next day you continue cooking. So marinating is my skill. So after I marinated the investors, I told them, before I get into the details, let me say this. This project is more than a company that sells product. It is a legacy you will leave behind. You will have your names written in history, and you will be judged by generations to come by what you build here. And as you can see, our team here is to invest in the Moroccan dream. Pause and boom. Again, they're like, oh my God, my name in the history. We're talking about the Moroccan heritage, the dream, Moroccan dreams. Again, throwing big words out there to capture their hearts and mind. And what comes next is the boring numbers. I was like, hey, in 2020, I had the mask situation, we made 2-3 million, blah, blah, blah. So it's not important. It's completely technical, I would say. And then after my pitch, after I finished, like I said, these guys, I could look at their faces. They were in some kind of level because, first of all, they have never seen or heard such pitch with a actual story. And the second thing, they were so overwhelmed with emotion, they actually forgot to ask me the technical questions. They completely forgot. They were just like, man, this is amazing. Let's do it. We signed the contract and I managed to save my company. We got, I think, what was it? 1.5 million dirhams, which is like 150K euros or so. And that with that money, we launched the belt collection, as you know. And as they say, the rest is history. So guys, the point here that I want to say you in this introductory, let's say, episode about storytelling, because I believe the next episode would be somehow telling you a story and discussing the details behind the scenes and all that stuff. So you yourself can craft your story and tell it to the world, because this is going to be your exercise today. If you don't have a story, what are you doing, man? You need to have your own story. I was forced to kind of craft these stories for different audiences, because here in Warsaw, in Poland, you know, I go out a lot and I meet a lot of people. And every time they're like, yo, where are you from? Then I'm Moroccan. And then it's like, okay, what do you do? And I don't answer, oh, I have a company or blah, blah, blah. I just tell the story. I capture their mind and heart, because that's more fun for me, because after 10 years or 12 years here, so boring to say, ah, I'm from Morocco, I have a leather brand. It's fucking boring. So I try to play with them and I tell them obviously a mini version of the main story. But basically it goes like, I was a boy with big dreams. My high school sweetheart broke my heart in Morocco and I needed to change. So I left Morocco, I came to Poland and started meeting people and built a couple of companies and da-da-di-da-da. I'm sure you know, some of you know the story already, or if you don't, go and listen to the first episode of the show. So guys, I'm gonna keep this one short and sweet. I just gave you the behind the scenes of my participation in the show Shark Tank, where I raised money for Meknes. I kept it alive for another 2 years and it's still going, we're still growing, we're still learning. And like I said, many, many times, storytelling is what changed my life. When you master this art, you will change your life as well. So guys, again, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to go to my website and send me an email or send me a DM on Instagram. If you would like to check out products of our brand, it's the website meknes.com. If you need some coaching or consulting, I'll be happy to help you with that. So go to my website, kamaljaheed.com, and book a coaching or consulting session. Or if you want to do bigger things, we now have an agency So we offer everything social media, lead generation, marketing related. We can help you build your website, launch your ads, and actually start making money online. Once again, thank you for tuning in. My name is Kamal Jahid, and I will see you next time. Bye.